But it is a huge endeavor, a bold vision by the Midwest Independent System Operator, known as MISO. They're the biggest system operator in the country. Their footprint stretches from Minnesota all the way nearly to Louisiana. So they're proposing this bidirectional DC overlay that would touch both the eastern and the western interconnects. So I would be happy to send the link. We video our presentations at our board meetings, so I'd be happy to send that link when we get that posted, so all the members can learn a little bit more about that project. But it is, again, early stages. It's at least 10 years away, minimum.
Okay, well, appreciate it. Just a question on I think it was, let me look at my notes. It was the Carbon County. That was the, that was the Gateway West from Carbon County. Is that right?
Mr. Chairman, the Carbon County is the Transwest Express.
Transwest, yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just my question about that. I mean, what power is that going to take? Is it going to be that wind project that, what is it, Sierra Madre or the massive wind project? Is that what the plan is?
Most of the power is planned to come from the Chokecherry Sierra Madre wind project that... that's an affiliate of Anschutz, their power company of Wyoming. Certainly, you know, we know, you know, unfortunately, California is not buying any coal-fired generation. I mean, they're even turning their noses up at gas-fired generation these days, if you can believe that. But it is what it is. They have a tremendous market for renewable energy. It's our opportunity to participate in that market, to put infrastructure in place that would last 50, 60, 70 years. None of us sitting here today can imagine what type of electrons will be flowing down that line 30 years from now.
Right.
But we know it's going to be in place, and in all likelihood, it will be utilized. So, which brings benefits to the state. So, in terms of money and jobs.
Sure. So part of that, I thought, just, and you said it, I think, in your opening comments, as far as transmission, clean coal, advanced conversion, how about any talk about any, you know, hybrid, nuclear, or any of that kind of thing? We've done some work, this legislature has, and changed our laws to try to, any talk like that or in the future, who knows? Maybe that's that down the line that we can't see. But
well, and Mr. Chairman, I do think the legislature has a committee, or at least had one, that is addressing nuclear power. As far as on the day-to-day discussions about what type of power would go through these lines, there's very little discussion relative to nuclear.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple quick questions. One, on the you talked about the Midwest Express, but there were some other projects that were talking about trying to facilitate or smooth out the ability to have between east and west interconnects. Is there anything going on that is going to be sought other than the Midwest Express locally that will help, that provides any way to export power?
Well, over the years, there have been projects, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Senator, there have been projects that have been strictly in the proposal stage about going east, but other than this Midwest Express. But, you know, if Wyoming, we've got Gateway West, Gateway South, that's 3,000 megawatts. Transwest Express is 3. High Plains Express, which goes down through Colorado and New Mexico, that's 3.5. Wyoming, Colorado infrastructure, Wyoming, Colorado intertie project that goes into Colorado, that's about 900 megawatts. The Zephyr line is 3,000. All of those are not going to get built. But if we can build a third of that And I think we'll build a third of it, in my opinion. The two gateway projects, they'll get built because they're being built for native load for PacifiCorp's customers. And their respective public service commissions or regulators will approve that pass-through of those costs. So we're going to get a third of that built. And the Infrastructure Authority has commissioned two job creation and economic benefit studies by the National Renewable Energy Laboratory that had some profound results in terms of total economic benefits and jobs. So Wyoming will benefit from that. And it's just a question of when and how much we actually end up getting built.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Along kind of along the same lines, a couple years ago they were talking about these developments of a, I don't know what you call it, smart grid, or the kind of the grid is pretty dated as far as both age and transmission capability and some of the things there. Is there any, is there anything new coming out, or has there been any further advancement on trying to have this updated grid for the United States or particularly the West?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, we continue to see improvements with efficiencies, with demand response applications, with energy imbalance markets. As a result of a good example of that is PacifiCorp recently signed a MOU with the California Independent System Operator to help balance those two markets. I'm not sure if you're all aware that PacifiCorp has purchased NV Energy, which is going to expand their footprint in the West, which I think is a good move for them and for reliability and keeping the grid in balance. But yes, there's improvements every day that come down the pike.
One last question. With respect to, I know we know about the Chokecherry and Sierra, but, and then I think we're kind of aware of some of the problems with the one, with the Pioneer project stuff. But it seems the wind is kind of outside of Chokecherry and Sierra Madre is kind of has fallen off, certainly not near as aggressive as it appeared to be just 3 or 4 years ago. Is there any, where do you see wind in Wyoming moving, or is it just, you think it's going to be fairly stagnant after we get the Chokecherry and Sierra Madre though?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, we've seen a marked reduction in folks developing wind in our state, without a doubt. We've got Pathfinder behind Zephyr. They're still paying their leases in Platte County. We've got Wasatch behind Pioneer Park, and they're dealing with issues. But last time I talked to them, they're confident that they'll get that small wind farm built. But you look around the state, though. You just recently the generator behind the Wyoming Colorado Intertie Project, Wyoming Wind and Power, which is a company owned by Scott Bloom in Jackson Hole. They're a state company that's well-funded. They announced that they're withdrawing from the Wyoming Colorado Intertie. They had 100% of that 900-megawatt capacity, but they couldn't get a market for it down in Colorado. One thing I think these wind developers have found, there is so much potential wind development in our country. It's unbelievable, truly unbelievable. But there's a lot of folks that I think came into the state, thought they would pick up some wind leases, start paying, flip them, and make lots of money and go down the road. That just hasn't happened. This business is very, very, very competitive, and we're only going to see those well-funded companies that can actually compete survive.
Now, Representative Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What happened to the project on the southern state line of Wyoming. There was a project proposed there, and I've not heard what, if anything's happening with that project there. Have they developed anything since then?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that project is the Wyoming-Colorado Intertie Project, and we did see some good signs when Wyoming Wind and Power, the company I just referred to, acquired 100% of that capacity, got FERC approval for it. But again, in responding to some of the requests for proposals from Colorado utilities like Xcel / PSCo and Tri-State, they couldn't even make the short list. Like I said, this business is very, very competitive. I'm not saying that that project's never going to get built, but it's going to take some luck and some acknowledgement by Colorado that more than just a price per megawatt hour needs to be in consideration. We have funded geographic diversity studies through the University of Wyoming that show definite economic benefits because our wind has different patterns than Colorado wind. Combining the two smooths out that variability and saves money in as much as you don't have to have as much standby generation, dispatchable generation.
Okay. Any other questions? Where are we? Have we got to the budget yet, or are we still talking?
Sir.
Okay, continue.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I refer to those two studies that we commissioned to try to quantify the economic benefit and job creation that is created or that would be created by these transmission lines. Still a lot of folks saying, well, there's no way that's true. You know, I don't care what that report says. You're going to create a few jobs, and that's it. So one thing we did do last year, Mr. Chairman, is reached out to the mayor of Sweetwater, Texas, Greg Wortham. And we had Mayor Wortham come up and talk to our stakeholders last May at our spring board meeting about the real benefits that they've achieved with only 2,500 megawatts of operating wind capacity in their county, in Nolan County, in the forms of schools, roads, medical facilities, jobs, increased tax base in the billions. So it will be beneficial to our state more than lots of folks want to believe when we get these projects built, or some of them built. Mr. Chairman, you also referred in your discussion with Brian about the BLM, the issue with the BLM field offices. That's definitely a problem, not just for pipeline permitting, but for transmission permitting as well. We, the Infrastructure Authority, we do have a seat on the Western Governors Association siding panel as the Wyoming representative, and we're addressing all of the issues surrounding the permitting and siting of pipelines and in our case with this panel, transmission, but it applies to pipelines. So I'm confident that we're going to see some improvements. I mean, we've had folks with the DOE and the BLM at some of these offices and had some pretty frank discussions about the fact that whole infrastructure needs to be restructured where they act in a much more uniform manner. So look for that to happen, Mr. Chairman. We've also had an aggressive market outreach program since the fall of 2012 to California, trying to convince California of the benefits they would receive.